It is now 8:08 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You know, here's the thing. Unions have a right to strike, right? It gets on people's nerves. I have talked to, over my 26 years here at WCCO, almost 26, I am absolutely amazed at how many people have called in over the years saying, oh, I don't need to be in any union. They can't do anything for me. And I would say to, you know, people who were listening and called in, or even a guest, and I would say, you know, that's not true. You should read your history on unions. It's a really big deal, and it's a lot. It's a whole lot to it. But, of course, SAG-AFTRA went on strike just 2 days ago, the 14th. And here we are today trying to figure out what does that mean for so many actors and those that have worked so hard. What does it mean? Some people used to think, I remember having conversations with other union people, and they would go out and say, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be just fine. They're not going to hold us up for long. Well, if you've noticed, a lot of unions are being held up these days, right? I would say in the last 30 years, for sure, things have really changed. I mean, really changed. And by the way, out at the State Fair this year, go and look at some of the unions. Stand next to them. Talk to them. Find out what it is that they do and why they do it. Because unions matter. They really, really matter. So I'm a part of SAG-AFTRA. Some people ask the question, well, what does SAG stand for? Well, SAG stands for Screen Actors Guild. AFTRA stands for American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. I have been a part of AFTRA since 1981, and I will forever be a part of AFTRA because it's just been a great time together, spending time with them, learning about how it all works, knowing how important it is for unions to stick together. I'm very grateful. Now, AFTRA is a union that was formed by the merger of SAG and AFTRA in 2012. I remember that. That goes back a long way, a very, very long way. But I will say this. I was wondering, when was the last time SAG went on strike? Did you know it was back in 1960? It's only the second time in history a joint strike has happened, with the last occurrence in 1960 when Ronald Reagan led SAG. I didn't even know that. Why are holiday actors and writers on strike? Oh my gosh. They want to be paid well. They want to be treated well. Isn't that what we all want? I mean, Jonathan, you know all about unions. Isn't that what we want? We want the respect. We want to know that they are working hard for us because we're working hard. And then some are losing their jobs. Some are losing all types of jobs, and they're not working as much as they were. Yeah, it can be tough. What blows me away is when I hear from people that I know and love, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, they'll last. They'll survive it. Good Lord. Yeah. We don't need to talk about unions.
Well, the big thing about this, and if you've listened to some of the people that are involved with television, involved with acting, involved with this union, It's mainly for not the top level stars. It's good to see people like Matt Damon and Margot Robbie and Cillian Murphy, who are in some of the biggest movies this summer. It's good to see some of these A-list actors being on the picket lines and being able to walk with other actors that they work with, maybe as extras, as crew, mm-hmm. Work with crew members and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't for the top liners. This is for the people that are middle and bottom on the rung of actors and actresses. This is for the people that may get residual checks from TV shows in the past, but if they've been on a streaming show, if they've been in a movie that was streamed and not released in theaters, and it gets so many hits and it's been, 5-10 years since it's been released, but they don't measure the streaming money and the residual money the same way, then you're not going to get the comfort that you would usually get from people rewatching your show years and years after it's come on. That's part of the deal with these residual checks. You got shows from the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s that are still in circulation today. And for that work, for that art that they've created, they get paid for it every time it airs. And so the fact that you get pennies on the dollar when it comes to residuals for and residual checks for the shows that are streaming, that's a problem. That's an issue.
Well, streaming was an issue from day one. The first time they introduced it to the, all the members, we all said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. What is this streaming thing? That's how these checks got so small. You know, we were on top of it. The members were on top of it. The leaders were trying to stay on top of it. I don't understand. It says here, what is SAG strike 2023? Actors are striking in 2023 because they want a better deal from major studios and streaming services who want to pay you a nickel. You know? SAG-AFTRA, which represents over 160,000 actors and broadcasters, states that its members need a modern contract that addresses modern issues. Oh my gosh, isn't that amazing? Is it possible? Yes. Why is it that people want to take away from other people's gifts? Pay them what they're worth.
Well, and it doesn't help that for a couple of reasons on top of my mind. It doesn't help, number one, that the plan, and it's being shown, and I've heard this a couple times over the last few weeks, it's being shown that the model that these streaming companies and studios have gone into and have bought into was flawed from the beginning. And how they were gaining their money, gaining their subscribers, it had to peak at some time. And so now they're on the downside of that. And the model that the business model that they use to build up their brand and build up their constituency, their base, isn't really helping anymore. It's not getting the results that models in the past have with ad-based models and that sort of thing. Other television broadcast or radio broadcast models. And so now how do they react? What needs to happen for these streaming services to get what they need to get and pay the talent and the writers what they are owed? And the other thing is, you've got so many of these CEOs that are making just gobs of money. And we get it. CEOs are going to make huge gobs of money. But the fact that you have so many people out there, some of these CEOs making 8-9-figure salaries per year,
I am not trying to take their money away from them. I am not trying to take their money away from them.
I know you're not trying to.
But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge, though, Jonathan. The challenge is that we've been dealing with this for a very long time. And I do mean a very long time. Streaming has been around for how long now? You look it up. Let me know. It's been around a long time. We should have been working on this a decade ago. So what's frustrating to me is that these actors have studied, they've trained, they're ready to go. And some of them are making a lot of money. And then there are those we think are making a lot of money. And it's shocking that they're not. You should see some of the checks that come in to me, you know, after recording with Prince, or I'm still getting checks, or Prairie Home Companion, or being in a movie, or working with a big actor. You'd be shocked at the checks that come in. After a while, you start getting checks that are so low, you don't even want to talk about it. These actors have the right to fight for their gifts. They are fighting for their gifts, for who they are, who they have become, and how hard they have worked to get there. That is worth it. It's worth it. I will never understand why there are those who are the super wealthy. God bless you. But you got to see that others are blessed too, and they deserve a good salary. I no longer want to say a decent salary. I want to say they deserve a good salary. Being an actress is not easy. I've been that girl. It's not easy. There's a lot to it. And unless this 160,000 are going to get together and stick together, I don't think anything is going to happen. Look at what's happening with the writers. Oh, and by the way, if you want to know when this whole strike is going to end, how about the end of 2023? That's what they're predicting.
Oh, it might be later than that. I mean, it doesn't seem like the studios and the writers and the actors side of it are anywhere close to a deal. I don't know if they're anywhere close.
Well, they've been stonewalled in several articles. You can start seeing that. People are really frustrated. And when they're frustrated, you know, you got to feed folks. You got to keep a place. You got to figure out how I can live. And you know how expensive California is. I sure do. I lived there for a year. So I'm blown away. 160,000 members. Well, we got to take a break. I know that, Jonathan.
So real quick, before we go to break, I did look up a page on this site called Wowza.com, W-O-W-Z-A, talking about they have an infographic with the history of streaming media overall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it looks like the first ever video live stream was by a rock band called Severe Tire Damage in June of 1993. ESPN streamed their first internet radio event. It was a baseball game between Seattle and the New York Yankees. That was September of 95. The launch of the Micromedia Flash Player was the tail end of 1996. And then takes a little while, but we get to YouTube. YouTube launches in April of 2005. Netflix has its first streaming video game. Or I'm sorry, they get in on the streaming game in January of 2007. And it grows and grows through the last decade. So if you want to talk about the current model of streaming and streaming video, you may want to look at YouTube in April of 05. That might be the launch point.
Well, as I sit and read through a lot of this information, one of the things that really touched my heart said, Hollywood actors and writers haven't been on strike at the same time since 1960, when former U.S. President Ronald Reagan, then a performer himself, was the president of SAG, the precursor to SAG-AFTRA. The industry has changed radically since the last actor strike against studios in 1980, when most television shows were on just three broadcast networks. Oh, I remember that. Just three of those broadcast networks, and movies were shown first in theaters. Oh, I remember that signal that would come on at 10 o'clock so you couldn't see anything else. We've come a long way, yet the actors are now being shunned. Many of them are being pushed to say, no, we can't pay you that. We can't pay you that because there's so many actors. 160,000, there'll probably be more. People come to L.A. for a reason. They come to New York for a reason. But if you're not going to be paid a fair wage, and who determines that, right? Who do you think determines that, Jonathan?
Well, it's probably going to be the studio in the end.
Well, with AI on our heels, do you think it's going to get better?
Right. From what I have heard, the answer to that would be it's not likely. There's a fear out there.
It's a real fear. It's called, I got to feed my children. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to make sure that my babies have health insurance. I have to make sure that, you know, I'm the parent that is seeing about their children. What people sometimes think, you know, I have an Emmy, you know. I have worked really hard. My family has worked very hard. All of my siblings, except myself, were on Broadway. You know, I could sit here and talk about those things, but does it matter? Does it matter if you're not being paid well? When I was doing work in New York, one of the producers called me. One of the big producers on Broadway called and said, you know, we're not going to be able to find a spot to help take care of your children. You know, we're not going to put them in daycare or anything like that. Your husband should do that. Think about that, Jonathan. And this is a thing that has been going on for a long time. Sometimes actors, you know, really get crushed over and over again. So they fight, they walk, they preach. They get the word out. And I'm grateful for it. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. It's amazing. You know, we hear about unions for so long, my entire life. My father was a grievance man in the union. And I have such respect for unions. I really do. I think they do a great job. None of them are perfect. None. None of them are perfect. And to talk about unions a little bit with us is Gene from Maplewood. Gene, it's been a long time since I've heard from you, and I know you know a whole lot about unions.
Oh, yeah. As a social worker, I was a union person at Dakota County. Asked me, and they were a good union. I grew up in a union family. My dad was a typographical union. My great uncle and great grandfather was in the bricklayers union number one, and many of my ancestors there were bricklayers for the state capitol and some of the other big buildings that down there. And my mom was in the union. My sister was in the teachers union. I mean, I will not cross a picket line. I will not, and I refuse to do that. And people know that about me. And I am a big union fan, and I love what they're doing. It's not just the stars, but there's a lot of the actors are people who don't make a lot of money, and they're the ones that they're hurting, and the writers are hurting. And I heard that these guys that won't give in to their writers, they're waiting for them to lose houses and do all this. I mean, that's mean. That's mean. I can't believe it. But, you know, I thank you, because I stand strong with these union people and with all of them on those picket lines. And, you know, if we have to watch reruns, so be it. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to have to do, because we need our actors. And these actors who have been in there a long time, they deserve what the pay, because they are good, and they have gone up the ladder, so to speak, and they have really, you know, done their duty, so they need to get their pay. Thank you so much. I love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you. Take care.
Okay, bye.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back. I am excited tonight because I know the person that I'm about to interview. I've known her for a long time. Let me tell you a little bit about her. As St. Paul's Rondo neighborhood continues to grow, a new candy shop is hoping to do more than supply someone's sugar fix. The store is part of a larger plan to provide both a place to go for local children and a spark to help the community blossom in years to come. Dr. Aretta Ree Johnson is the owner of the Tooth Fairy Candy Store and the founder of the Divine Institute. Divine is an acronym. And she explains her process now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, Dr. Aretta?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you on tonight. And I love the name of the store, the Tooth Fairy Candy Store. Tell us how it all came to be.
Well, I think we started planning it somewhere near the end of the pandemic. And when I say we, the girls that reside in our group home, and it came from me writing my dissertation, talking about Black women entrepreneurs in my dissertation. And then I was thinking with the girls one day, just talking to them, I said, why do we have to wait until, you know, they're women? Why don't we start with girls in entrepreneurship? And so we started talking. I had told them about a vision about a Willy Wonka chocolate factory for kids in the Twin Cities, if I could ever create such space. And here we are, after just talking near the end of the pandemic, it came to fruition, the Tooth Fairy Candy Store.
Okay, so first of all, it's such a sweet thing, and I don't mean to be coy, but honestly, it's something that children are going to be really excited about, first of all. Is this something that would be open all year long, or would you say you're looking more at summer and spring and maybe fall?
At this point, we are looking for all year long. We have a season, so the summer season, we're open from 2:30 to 7:30. And then when winter or fall comes, we'll start from 3 to 6 p.m. And we're also being flexible because as the demands, you know, we sort of as an entrepreneur, you got to look at the demands of the industry and if people are coming, how frequent and things like that.
Right. This is old school. I mean, this is what people, you know, there are older people that will want to come to this toy. I mean, not toy, but this candy shop because it reminds us of our childhood, right? I mean, I'm going to come and I'm going to buy one piece of candy. I ain't lying. You hear me? You hear me? One piece of candy, sister girl. That's all I'm going to do. But I tell you, Aretta, knowing that these children are going to love this, has the building been chosen? Has it all, is it ready to go?
Yeah, it's ready to go. We opened April 26th this year, 2023, and we've been open since. We've had some little hiccups and things like that due to some construction in the Rondo area, but now our sales are coming back up to where we were in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, so Divine Institute, tell me about that, and how does this also work with the whole Rondo neighborhood and this candy store?
So DIVINE is an acronym for Developing Interest, Vital, and Nurturing Education. And it came from me as a housewife seeing my children's vocabulary or listening to my children's vocabulary and needing something for them to do in the summertime. We were middle class, so we didn't get any free or subsidies for the kids to go to summer programming, and we weren't well off enough to pay for them to go to the Y or anywhere. So I said, I'll create my own, and boom, here we go. And so by 2015, it had really taken off. I started it in my home. Then we went to the basement of my church, and it still exists in my church. Our summer program just started last week on Monday, July 11th, and that's where we teach children 9 to 17 advanced vocabulary words. And so that's sort of how it grew. It grew from in 2015, parents started asking me, would I open a school? Would I do this? Would I do that with their kids? And after some, you know, reflection, I decided, and because of my mother, I said, opening a group home. And then the group home led to other things, and the Tooth Fairy was one of the other things that that we started doing.
You know, it's interesting because your family, your entire family, has a whole lot of entrepreneurs in it, right? It's almost as though you guys were raised to be, first of all, you're singers. You've been singers for a long time, but you also are entrepreneurs. Tell us about how that has inspired you to get to the point where you have a candy store.
Well, yeah, if you just look at the history of the building where our candy store is, that building was gifted to my uncle, the late Reverend Dr. Walter Leroy Battle, when his youth camp burned down in
Not
Grand
Jamaica,
Rapids.
Bahamas? Where was that when it burned down?
No, it was in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
And it was?
Yes. And Ball Club was the little city town up there. And then a guy by the name of Edward Ham, I think Ham Bury, heard about the camp being burned down and gifted that building to my uncle. My uncle died, and my mom had been working side by side with him, and she had her piece-by-piece quilt shop in there. So all I'd seen my entire life was them doing nonprofit work. And I just, the bug bit me. And but I had another I just had another spin or take on it. I was interested in youth and their vocabulary and their education because I know that two things are quintessential to us as folk, black folk, and that is God and education. So if I figured if I could give them education, maybe they could see the God in me. I don't know. So when that nonprofit bug bit me, I was in a position when my mom died 2 years ago. to purchase the building, even though it had been gifted to my family for many years. Mr. Ham had died, and his children inherited his property, but they was like, nope, we're not giving a handout, but they gave us first right of refusal, and I was in a position to purchase the building. So that place at 861 Selby, where the Tooth Fairy Candy Store resides,
right,
has a long history of entrepreneurship in it.
Now, I understand that you decided to name yourself Fairy Godmother.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so you, Aretta. That is so you.
Yeah.
Are you sticking with that?
Yeah, I'm sticking to it. That's it. Because, one, I've had a love for girls for so many years. And then I had the opportunity to open up. I have two group homes called Divine. They're called Divine Intervention. I have one in Minneapolis and one in St. Paul. And the girls, whatever, I tell the girls whatever they need me to be, I will be that. So sometimes they call you auntie, mama, grandmom, or whatever. But I said, until you figure it out, I'll be your fairy godmother. And so that's what I try to be for girls in community, just try to be that void, that vacuousness that they feel sometimes out there as displaced individuals. See what I can do to impact their lives in a meaningful way.
Are these black children or children of all colors?
Well, they're black children. I think 95% of the children that I serve are black female, but we don't turn anyone down.
Well, that's good to hear, because there are so many things that our young people, especially young girls, need to be taught. I remember growing up in Church of God in Christ was the denomination I was a part of. You know it well. and I have to tell you, you know, we went to church from, you know, 8 in the morning until 3 p.m. And then you go home and some preachers come by to eat. And before you know it, you back at church at 6 o'clock, you know, just ready to hear, you know, young people's willing worker. And you just, it keeps going, right? At the same time, we learned so much about ourselves. We learned how etiquette was taught to us and so much more. I look at young people today, especially in the churches, you don't necessarily see this. So I'm thrilled that you're doing this. Not only is it a candy store and you are the fairy godmother, but bottom line is that it is something that these girls will look at and say, she was the one that introduced me to this. And we have so many women in the great Twin Cities that are doing this all over the place. So knowing that you have this is great. Are there any certain types of parties or anything like that that you offer for the young people when they come into the Tooth Fairy candy store?
Not necessarily a party, but we do offer, because you know, the sweet, we got the sweet tooth, of course, but candy can be bad for you, especially with the health disparities in our community and diabetes and things like that. So one of the things I try to do is we're partnering with some dental offices, and we're giving out toothbrushes, toothpaste, and dental floss. So I don't necessarily offer a party, but one of the other things we are trying to offer is, if a child comes in with a loose tooth, we got this little tooth fairy bag for them to put on their pillow. And if the parents want to, they can rent the tooth fairy for an evening and we'll come and put
That's awesome. I'll never forget. I have a niece and her father forgot to put $5 under her pillow. And she woke up and said, "What happened? The tooth fairy didn't show up." "Daddy, what happened? That's your job."
Exactly.
That's amazing. This sounds like a lot of fun. How many children are allowed to be in the space at one time?
When we had our grand opening, oh my God, it was so packed in there. So I haven't put a cap on the capacity. I'm sure the fire department might have something to say about that. But I would think up to 7 to 10 kids at one time we could handle.
Yeah. So your personal mission, I want to make sure I mention this, to devote myself to seeking knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to live a life worthy of bearing fruit. That's beautiful.
Yes, to bear fruit. You know, if I'm not, I was telling somebody just last week, they're not mine to keep. They're mine to share. They're mine to give out. And so if I'm trying to bear fruit by, you know, impacting these girls' lives in a way, like you said, that years down the road, you know, sometimes you're planting and watering, but only I think God can give the increase. I might not see the increase in my lifetime, right, but I'm hoping in 10, 20 years, these girls will say, wow, I remember this, and she made a difference, or Divine Institute made a difference in my life.
So, you know, if you tell me it's girls, right, then I think yes, that they're 5 years old and older. However, are you talking to young adults? Are you talking to teens? Are you inviting them to be a part of it?
Yeah, so the girls, it's getting a little, it's a little convoluted in that, so, because I have a few different programs going on concurrently. So,
oh, you mean like the Summer Institute, the Divine Intervention? My God, Critical Conditioning, About That Life, Hey Pretty, yep, Verbal Advantage, Scholars Hall. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. What is that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you touched on yes, ma'am a little bit. That's a huge part of who we are. I love trying to teach kids about etiquette, because I love taking the girls out to eat, but nobody has sat down with these young women and taught them that you only need two fingers to hold the chicken, or the, you know, you don't need all 12 or 15 of your fingers. That's a joke, of course. But, you know, just teaching them not holding things with two hands. Sometimes girls come in and they got both hands full trying to eat. No, you just need one hand. Put one in your lap. This is your napkin. You know, just teaching them things like that. So when they start dating, you know, they can have some etiquette about themselves. So, yeah, I'm huge on that. And that's our program called Yes, Ma'am.
Yeah, and it's not just about dating. It's also about, you know, going to see the world, traveling more, that sort of thing. They need the etiquette in order to make sure they know what they're doing when they get there. When they get to college, they need to know it all. I'm so happy that you're doing that. And if you need my help on that, let me know. I am very excited that you know a lot about this, and that you're really spreading this all over the place. And these children, as young as well as teenagers. Do you have teenagers as well?
Yes. So the group home, which is called the intervention, we start at age 12 there and go up to 17. However, if the girls are still in school, I can keep them up to 21 or even 24 years old. And we did buy that building at 861 Selby at some point. I have six apartments in there, and the girls that are in our program will be able to rent those apartments out too, so we can have some kind of independent living program for them as well. About That Life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of these young people need to learn how to write a value statement, a personal value statement, you know, so that they know who they are and who they are going to become, or at least work at it. You know, that's a whole nother thing. This is really impressive what you're doing, and I congratulate you on it. If people want more information about who you are and about not only just the candy store, but so much more, where do they go?
Well, they can go to divineinstitute.org, D-I-V-I-N-E, institute.org. Or I can also give out our phone number. Our main office number is 651-447-5120. I'll say it again.
Give me that one more time. Yes.
651-447-5120.
It has been a pleasure having you on, Aretta. Congratulations on your endeavors, especially trying to really open up these children and help pour more into them that they will need to succeed in the future. So well done, dear. Well done.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Tell your family hello for me, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
She is a force to be reckoned with, y'all. I'm telling you now. If you're going to hear anything, I am excited tonight because I know the person that I'm about to interview. I've known her for a long time. Let me tell you a little bit about her. As St. Paul's Rondo neighborhood continues to grow, a new candy shop is hoping to do more than supply someone's sugar fix. The store is part of a larger plan to provide both a place to go for local children and a spark to help the community blossom in years to come. Dr. Aretta Ree Johnson is the owner of the Tooth Fairy Candy Store and the founder of the Divine Institute. Divine is an acronym. And she explains her process now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. How are you, Dr. Aretta?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you on tonight. And I love the name of the store, the Tooth Fairy Candy Store. Tell us how it all came to be.
Well, I think we started planning it somewhere near the end of the pandemic. And when I say we, the girls that reside in our group home. And we, it came from me writing my dissertation, talking about Black women entrepreneurs in my dissertation. And then I was thinking with the girls one day, just talking to them, and they, and we, I said, why do we have to wait until, you know, they're women? Why don't we start with girls in entrepreneurship? And so we started talking, and I had told them about a vision about a Willy Wonka chocolate factory for kids in the Twin Cities, if I could ever create such space. And here we are after just talking near the end of the pandemic. It came to fruition, the Tooth Fairy Candy Store.
Okay, so first of all, it's such a sweet thing, and I don't mean to be coy, but honestly, it's something that children are going to be really excited about, first of all. Is this something that would be open all year long, or would you say you're looking more at summer and spring and maybe fall?
At this point, we are looking for all year long. We're looking for, we have a season, so the summer season, we're open from 2:30 to 7:30. And then when winter or fall comes, we'll start from 3 to 6 p.m. And we're also being flexible because as the demands, you know, we sort of as entrepreneur, you got to look at the demands of the industry and if people are coming, how frequent and things like that.
Right. This is old school. I mean, this is what people, you know, there are older people that will want to come to this toy. I mean, not toy, but this candy shop, because it reminds us of our childhood, right? I mean, I'm going to come and I'm going to buy one piece of candy. I ain't lying. You hear me? You hear me? One piece of candy, sister girl. That's all I'm going to do. But I tell you, Aretta, knowing that these children are going to love this, has the building been chosen? Has it all, is it ready to go?
Yeah, it's ready to go. We opened April 26th this year, 2023, and we've been open since. We've had some little hiccups and things like that due to some construction in the Rondo area, but now our sales are coming back up to where we were in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, so Divine Institute, tell me about that, and how does this also work with the whole Rondo neighborhood and this candy store?
So DIVINE is an acronym for Developing Interest Vital in Nurturing Education. And it came from me as a housewife seeing my children's vocabulary or listening to my children's vocabulary and needing something for them to do in the summertime. We were middle class, so we didn't get any free or subsidies for the kids to go to summer programming, and we weren't well off enough to pay for them to go to the Y or anywhere. So I said, I'll create my own, and boom, here we go. And so by 2015, it had really taken off. I started it in my home. Then we went to the basement of my church, and it still exists in my church. Our summer program just started last week on Monday, July 11th, and that's where we teach children 9 to 17 advanced vocabulary words. And so that's sort of how it grew. It grew from in 2015, parents started asking me, would I open a school? Would I do this? Would I do that with their kids? And after some, you know, reflection, I decided, and because of my mother, I said, opening a group home. And then the group home led to other things, and the Tooth Fairy was one of the other things that that we started doing.
You know, it's interesting because your family, your entire family, has a whole lot of entrepreneurs in it, right? It's almost as though you guys were raised to be, first of all, you're singers. You've been singers for a long time, but you also are entrepreneurs. Tell us about how that has inspired you to get to the point where you have a candy store.
Well, yeah, if you just look at the history of the building where our candy store is, that building was gifted to my uncle, the late Reverend Dr. Walter Leroy Battle, when his camp, his youth camp burned down in
Not Grand Jamaica, Bahamas. Where was that when it burned down?
No, it was in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
And he was.
Yes. And Ball Club was the little city town up there. And then a guy by the name of Edward Ham, I think Ham Bury, heard about the camp being burned down and gifted that building to my uncle. My uncle died, and my mom had been working side by side with him, and she had her piece by piece quilt shop in there. So all I've seen my entire life was them doing nonprofit work, and I just, the bug bit me. And but I had another I just had another spin or take on it. I was interested in youth and their vocabulary and their education, because I know that two things are quintessential to us as folk, black folk, and that is God and education. So if I figured if I could give them education, maybe they could see the God in me. I don't know. So when that nonprofit bug bit me, I was in a position when my mom died 2 years ago to purchase the building, even though it had been gifted to my family for many years. Mr. Ham had died, and his children inherited his property, but they was like, nope, we're not giving a handout, but they gave us first right of refusal, and I was in a position to purchase the building. So that place at 861 Selby, where the Tooth Fairy Candy Store resides,
right,
has a long history of entrepreneurship in it.
Now, I understand that you decided to name yourself Fairy Godmother.
Yeah.
That's so you, Aretta. That is so you.
Yeah.
Are you sticking with that?
Yeah, I'm sticking to it. That's it. Because, one, I've had a love for girls for so many years. And then I had the opportunity to open up. I have two group homes called Divine. They're called Divine Intervention. I have one in Minneapolis and one in St. Paul. And the girls, whatever, I tell the girls whatever they need me to be, I will be that. So sometimes they call you auntie, mama, grandmom, or whatever. But I said, until you figure it out, I'll be your fairy godmother. And so that's what I try to be for girls in community, just try to be that void, that vacuousness that they feel sometimes out there as displaced individuals. See what I can do to impact their lives in a meaningful way.
Are these black children or children of all colors?
Well, they're black children. I think 95% of the children that I serve are black female, but we don't turn anyone down.
Well, that's good to hear, because there are so many things that our young people, especially young girls, need to be taught. I remember growing up in Church of God in Christ was the denomination I was a part of. You know it well. and I have to tell you, you know, we went to church from, you know, 8 in the morning until 3 p.m. And then you go home and some preachers come by to eat. And before you know it, you back at church at 6 o'clock, you know, just ready to hear, you know, young people's willing worker. And you just, it keeps going, right? At the same time, we learned so much about ourselves. We learned how etiquette was taught to us and so much more. I look at young people today, especially in the churches, you don't necessarily see this. So I'm thrilled that you're doing this. Not only is it a candy store and you are the fairy godmother, but bottom line is that it is something that these girls will look at and say, she was the one that introduced me to this. And we have so many women in the great Twin Cities that are doing this all over the place. So knowing that you have this is great. Are there any certain types of parties or anything like that that you offer for the young people when they come into the Tooth Fairy candy store?
Not necessarily a party, but we do offer, because you know, the sweet, we got the sweet tooth, of course, candy can be bad for you, especially with the health disparities in our community and diabetes and things like that. So one of the things I try to do is we're partnering with some dental offices, and we're giving out toothbrushes, toothpaste, and dental floss. So I don't necessarily offer a party, but one of the other things we are trying to offer is, if a child comes in with a loose tooth, we got this little tooth fairy bag for them to put on their pillow. And if the parents want to, they can rent the tooth fairy for an evening and we'll come and put
That's awesome. I'll never forget, I have a niece and her father forgot to put $5 under her pillow. And she woke up and said, what happened? The tooth fairy didn't show up. Daddy, what happened? That's your job.
Exactly.
That's amazing. This sounds like a lot of fun. How many children are allowed to be in the space at one time?
When we had our grand opening, oh my God, it was so packed in there. So I haven't put a cap on the capacity. I'm sure the fire department might have something to say about that. But I would think up to 7 to 10 kids at one time we could handle.
Yeah. So your personal mission, I want to make sure I mention this, to devote myself to seeking knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to live a life worthy of bearing fruit. That's beautiful.
Yes, to bear fruit. You know, if I'm not, I was telling somebody just last week, if the resources I have, they're not mine to keep, they're mine to share, they're mine to give out. And so if I'm trying to bear fruit by, you know, impacting these girls' lives in a way, like you said, that years down the road, you know, sometimes you're planting and watering, but only I think God can give the increase. I might not see the increase in my lifetime, but I'm hoping in 10, 20 years, these girls will say, wow, I remember this and she made a difference, or Divine Institute made a difference in my life.
So, you know, if you tell me it's girls, right, then I think that they're 5 years old and older. However, are you talking to young adults? Are you talking to teens? Are you inviting them to be a part of it?
Yeah, so the girls, it's getting a little convoluted in that, so because I have a few different programs going on concurrently. So,
you mean like the Summer Institute, the Divine Intervention? My God, Critical Conditioning, About That Life, Hey Pretty, Verbal Advantage, Scholars Hall. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. What is that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you touched on yes, ma'am a little bit. That's a huge part of who we are. I love trying to teach kids about etiquette, because I love taking the girls out to eat, but nobody has sat down with these young women and taught them that you only need two fingers to hold the chicken, or the, you know, you don't need all 12 or 15 of your fingers. That's a joke, of course. But, you know, just teaching them not holding things with two hands. Sometimes girls come in and they got both hands full trying to eat. No, you just need one hand. Put one in your lap. This is your napkin. You know, just teaching them things like that, so when they start dating, you know, they can have some etiquette about themselves. So, yeah, I'm huge on that. And that's our program called Yes, Ma'am.
Yeah, and it's not just about dating. It's also about, you know, going to see the world, traveling more, that sort of thing. They need the etiquette in order to make sure they know what they're doing when they get there. When they get to college, they need to know it all. I'm so happy that you're doing that. And if you need my help on that, let me know. I am very excited that you know a lot about this, and that you're really spreading this all over the place. And these children, as well as teenagers. Do you have teenagers as well?
Yes. So the group home, which is called the Intervention, we start at age 12 there and go up to 17. However, if the girls are still in school, I can keep them up to 21 or even 24 years old. And we did buy that building at 861 Selby at some point. I have 6 apartments in there, and the girls that are in our program will be able to rent those apartments out too, so we can have some kind of independent living program for them as well. About That Life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of these young people need to learn how to write a value statement, a personal value statement, you know, so that they know who they are and who they are going to become, or at least work at it. You know, that's a whole nother thing. This is really impressive what you're doing, and I congratulate you on it. If people want more information about who you are and about not only just the candy store, but so much more, where do they go?
Well, they can go to divineinstitute.org, D-I-V-I-N-E, institute.org. Or I can also give out our phone number. Our main office number is 651-447-5120. I'll say it again.
Give me that one more time. Yes.
651-447-5120.
It has been a pleasure having you on, Aretta. Congratulations on your endeavors, especially trying to really open up these children and help pour more into them that they will need to succeed in the future. So well done, dear. Well done.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Tell your family hello for me, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
She is a force to be reckoned with, y'all. I'm telling you now, if you're going to hear anything about Aretta, it's big. So I'm really happy I had a chance to interview her tonight. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. I tell you, as we talk about entrepreneurs, people that are doing great things, there are those out there that are thinking about doing their own thing. And Jonathan, if there was one thing you could do that you say, hey, I'm going to open a store, I'm going to open such and such, what would it be?
I've thought, if I had my own space, I've thought of a couple different things. One, there are some old school arcades out there. I've always thought that was, especially growing up in the arcade world, with, you know, I'd go to arcades every now and again when I was a child. I've seen some of these arcades that have popped up and, you know, have the adult beverages, but you have the, you know, you have an arcade that you can let the kids go around and play in. I've thought about that. There are a couple other things I've thought about, maybe making a couple of hats, style hats and stuff like that. It's just, it's me. I've got a weird mind. What can I say?
Well, you are a man that loves some hats, man. You used to wear some cool hats. What happened?
I still wear
Get
them.
Back to it, dude.
I still wear
Get
them. You,
back
just, don't,
to
you
it.
Just don't see me. You don't.
It
you
has
just,
been a pleasure.
You just don't see me in the studio wearing them.
Look. Okay, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right, my brother. It's all right. It's been a pleasure, Jonathan. Of course, coming up is our final hour. We call it Center Stage. It's all about music, arts, and entertainment. You don't want to miss this. I can't wait to have Rohan Preston on. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. I tell you, as we talk about entrepreneurs, people that are doing great things, there are those out there that are thinking about doing their own thing. And Jonathan, if there was one thing you could do that you say, hey, I'm going to open a store, I'm going to open such and such, what would it be?
I've thought, if I had my own space, I've thought of a couple different things. One, there are some old school arcades out there. I've always thought that was, especially growing up in the arcade world, with, you know, I'd go to arcades every now and again when I was a child. I've seen some of these arcades that have popped up and, you know, have the adult beverages, but you have the, you know, you have an arcade that you can let the kids go around and play in. I've thought about that. There are a couple other things I've thought about, maybe making a couple of hats, style hats and stuff like that. It's just, it's me. I've got a weird mind. What can I say?
Well, you are a man that loves some hats, man. You used to wear some cool hats. What happened?
I still wear
them. Get back to it, dude.
I still wear
them.
You just don't, see me. You don't.
It has been a pleasure.
You just don't see me in the studio wearing them.
Look. Okay, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right, my brother. It's all right. It's been a pleasure, Jonathan. Of course, coming up is our final hour. We call it Center Stage. It's all about music, arts, and entertainment. You don't want to miss this. I can't wait to have Rohan Preston on. We'll be back.